What's up, everyone? This is Anthony Pompliano. Many of you know me as Pomp. You're listening to the Pomp Podcast, which is my effort to find the most interesting people in the world and sit with them for hours while I ask questions in an effort to learn. So it would mean the world to me if you would subscribe to the show on your favorite audio platform, watch episodes on YouTube, and tell your friends and family about the podcast. My goal is to help millions learn from the world's most interesting people. So let's get into today's episode.
Today's episode is with Renato Moicano. He's a UFC fighter who recently went viral after his most recent fight. He was talking about defending liberty, the importance of private property rights, and he suggested everyone read The Six Lessons, is a book by Ludwig von Mises. In this conversation, we talk about the lessons he learned from Brazilian Constitution versus the American Constitution, why he thinks private property rights are so important, why he suggested that specific book, how he learned about the principles of America, why he views Bitcoin as a lifeboat, his thoughts on capitalism, the national debt, taxation, upcoming elections, inflation, and the response he has received after that viral speech after his fight. This conversation is fascinating. Renato is an absolute beast. He's in the cage, but he also has got great understanding of American history and economics. I'm excited for you guys to listen. Here's my conversation with Renato Moicano.
Anthony Pompliano runs Pomp Investments. All views of him and the guests on his podcast are solely their opinions and do not reflect the opinions of Pomp Investments. You should not treat any opinion expressed by Pomp or his guests as a specific inducement to make a particular investment or follow a particular strategy, but only as an expression of his personal opinion. This podcast is for informational purposes only.
Today's episode is brought to you by Proppy. Imagine a world where you could buy and sell your home wallet to wallet. With Prop Keys, you can mint your home address and upgrade it to a real-world asset. This not only protects your home's title from fraud, but when you are ready to move, you can sell it through an NFT auction as well as through the traditional way. There's optionality here. Proppy Keys is part of the Proppy ecosystem. Their mission is to make home ownership more efficient, affordable, and user-friendly. Proppy Keys is a fun entry point to placing title on the blockchain. Now, anyone can start their on-chain journey by minting home addresses via Proppy Keys and staking them for profit until they are ready to sell their home. Visit ProppyKeys.com to learn more. Again, that's ProppyKeys.com to learn more. Today's episode is brought to you by Supra. If you're building anything in Web3 or crypto, you likely need oracles and verifiable randomness too. Supra's offering the fastest oracles and DVRF free for 12 months at Supra.com/pomp for a limited time. Supra delivers the freshest Oracle price feeds across 50 plus blockchains. Critical price levels or liquidation triggers, beat your competition to the punch with Supra. It's as good as having the first mover advantage on every price update. Supra is more secure, easier to integrate, and runs on up to 12x lower gas per feed than other oracles. So you'll want to bank on this 12 months free offer as soon as possible. If you're just listening and know any builders, you can earn $1,500 by letting them know about this deal. They can get the fastest oracles for free for 12 months, and you get $1,500 for every referral. Visit supra.com/pomp to learn more. That's supra.com/pomp.
All right, guys. Bang, bang. I've got Renato here. You went viral on the internet for this amazing speech after your most recent UFC fight. And you were talking about defending liberty, the importance of private property rights. You suggested people go read Ludwig von Mises' Six Lessons. And I think everyone said, wait a second. How is it that a UFC fighter may understand economics and the importance of these ideals more than our government or the people who are running our economy? And so I thought a great place to start is just like you grew up in Brazil. Now you live in the United States. What are the lessons that you learned growing up in that environment and now coming to the US where maybe it's supposed to be a little bit different?
Yes, I think it's a lot of difference. If you understand like the difference between the Brazilian Constitution and the American Constitution, it's a huge difference, you know, because especially the way the founding fathers, they made the Constitution, what they were trying to protect, right? Individual freedoms. So you can speak, you can defend yourself, you have the right to keep the stuff that you work for. So when people say private property, what is private property? It's just you enjoying the fruits of your labor. It's not is not nothing different than that. So if you have a house, if you have money, if you have ways to produce, you have to keep them. And I think in Brazil, people don't think like that. We have like a strong socialist and communist mindset. So they think we need to share everything. We need to, in Brazil, they want always more government. They want all more control. And when I got here in America, I saw not everybody, but some people, right? They like the Constitution. They praise the Constitution. They praise liberty, the individualism, you know, the classic liberalism, the things that made America great. And then I start to realize, man, in Brazil is so different. Let me see why. And then I start to dive in American history, American Revolution, and all that aspects of why America was founded, and compared to Brazil, and completely different. Brazil always is trying to copy America, but in a bad way, you know? So we had a monarchy in Brazil, and we had like a military coup, and they put like oligarchs, you know, what was not like in America. We have the founding fathers, and then you have Benjamin Franklin, and you have George Washington, and he didn't even want to be, people wanted him to be the king, right? And he said, no, let's do like a republic. Let's keep the Constitution. Let's keep like people that produce voting. It's not like a democracy. It's not like everybody's voting, because not everybody is producing. In Brazil, it's different. They took the power for the monarchy, and they give to rich families, into oligarchies that was switching between power. So Brazil is corrupt because of that. I think because its foundation. So I think when I start to look into this, and that's why that's the difference. But right nowadays, I think people not realize that the republic is degenerate into a democracy, and they think everybody, even people that don't produce, they have the right to enjoy the fruits of the labor of somebody else. And that's why I was so invested in Ludwig von Mises and the right of the private property.
So when you started to go down this kind of rabbit hole and you wanted to learn more about it, I would say that just talking to you for a few minutes, you are better educated on American history and some of the ideals and foundations of the country than people who grew up here their entire life, right? And so why did Ludwig von Mises and the Six Lessons, like, why did that speak so much to you? And why did you feel compelled after the fight to, on a national stage, tell everyone, hey, go read this book? There's a lot of things you could have said, but you told people to go read a very specific book.
Actually, I know you guys are a huge crypto community, and I'm really into the Bitcoin again. Not because, so people think I love America, and I like America, and I love Brazil, I love America, but most, I like the principles, you know, the principles, because I don't think you are special because you're born in America. I don't think I am special because I'm born in Brazil. I don't have pride and things that I am natural. I'm pride on what I do, you know, on my principles. And America, I think, is the same. I think American people, citizens, they should be proud of the Constitution, because the laws, it's just about institutions, right? If you have incentives to be bad, you're going to be bad. If you have incentives to be good, and Bitcoin is like that, all the right incentives to keep like scarcity, right? Decentralization. So the principles of Bitcoin that got me into this habit role. And after the fight, I am so invested in Bitcoin, meaning that I like the protocol, I like the technology, I like the revolution, to take the money out the government, you know, so they cannot print, they cannot control, they cannot tax. Of course, they can tax capital gains, you know, but at the same time, let's say if the shits go south, right, you have your Bitcoin on your custody, right, you could move country. So it's like a boat, it's like a lifeboat. Bitcoin, I see like a lifeboat. So I wanted to talk about Bitcoin. I want to talk about, but I thought, man, if I go over there and talk about Bitcoin, people will just miss the point, you know, because I knew like people involved with crypto and Bitcoin, they would say, oh, look at this guy, he's talking about Bitcoin. But the general public, they don't understand. They think it's a scam. So I thought, okay, I'm going to talk about the same principles, but I will try to bring to a broad audience, and I will talk about like classic liberalism and Ludwig von Mises, and people from Bitcoin will understand, and people that are not from Bitcoin, they will try to look into, they will try to read the books, and maybe they get what I'm saying. And I think a lot of people did.
Yeah, that's very smart, is to basically talk about it without mentioning the word. I think is a clever way to try to almost red pill, right? A large portion of people. What has the response been after you know, again, talking about private property rights, defending liberty, the U.S. Constitution, some of these different ideas? Like, it seemed like on the internet, people were really receptive. Was there any negative feedback?
Some people in Brazil, they say, like, I am praising too much America, praising too much the USA, that I'm like licking boots and stuff. But at the same time, I don't care. You know why? Because I'm not defending America. I'm defending the principles. It's like the blockchain. You know, it's something deeper than Bitcoin. It's something deeper than make money. You know, I started in Bitcoin as a how they say, like a speculative, right? I want to make money. But now that I understand there is so much things involved on crypto and Bitcoin, that is not only about money, it's like principles. And in America, it's the same. You know, was the first, man, the Constitution of America, how many years we have the Constitution? And it keeps at, it keeps, how do I say that? If you look, it's the same thing that we're fighting for, like freedom, rights, and it keeps like something from the present, you know. So it's old, but we still can apply today. So I don't think we need to change. I think we still have to conserve the values and the principles that make America great. But some people don't like, right? Some people like, that's why I tell people, read the book. He will explain about capitalism, socialism, interventionism, like inflation, investments and politics and ideas. And I think the book is so good because it's easy to read. I'm not a scholar. I'm not a smart guy. And the way he talks, you can really understand. So see what he's talking about, and then you're going to understand is we have the same problems. Overtaxation, the government printing money, the debt is like, how much is the debt? 37 billions or something like that. We are spending more money than are we making, but the government, he has this free card of printing money, and they can get its way out of debt through printing money and to taxation you by inflation. It's all about that, you know?
Yeah. What's for those that don't know the book or haven't read it before, it's basically transcriptions of speeches that he gave in Argentina a couple decades ago. And he goes through both kind of history, but also these mental frameworks. And one of them is capitalism versus socialism. And what's interesting is you're basically saying, again, overgeneralization, but Brazil is more kind of socialist and America tends to be more capitalist. What about the people in Brazil? Are they interested in Bitcoin? Are they more so trying to use stable coins? Like, what do you see with either your friends, your family, people you know in Brazil, and kind of how they're interacting with these technologies?
Most of people that I talk into Brazil, they don't know about crypto. They don't know about the principles of the blockchain. So it would be hard for me to say, because every time that I go to Brazil, I usually don't talk about this, don't talk about economics. So, but I know a lot of people are starting to realize that, but not on my personal circle, you know? Mm-hmm. So I cannot give you an accurate answer on that, but definitely is less people than America.
Yeah. You think in America, people are more aware of this stuff than maybe in Brazil, just with the people you interact with?
I think so, but it's hard to say because most of people that I interact with, right, they have the same principles as me. So it's like a bubble, right? So everything that I talk to, they think that what I'm doing is amazing, but I'm pretty sure there is a lot of people that don't like me. But again, I think that's important. That's freedom of speech. That's I want people to talk shit about me. I don't care. You know, you have to be strong. You have to do what you believe so, right? So I usually don't think too much about that, but most of people that I live with and talk to, they are on the same boat.
So talk about America and kind of your analysis. It felt like when you brought this up, you knew it was on the national stage. You obviously thought about it in advance and kind of what the right positioning was. Were you issuing a little bit of a warning? Were you saying, hey, America may be moving away from these ideals and these principles, and actually you as the people should go and educate yourselves on it to make sure that that doesn't happen?
Now, you tell me, right? We've seen like the welfare and the social programs. Like, I know people love free stuff. And I saw that in Brazil and in Argentina. And if you keep doing that, how are you going to pay? Because that is one point, and the book explained that to like big time. When you start this interventionism, it's very hard to stop, because we live in a democracy. The representatives, they have to be voted on. So imagine saying, hey, we're gonna stop the programs, we're not gonna give you money. Who is going to vote for the guy? So the populism and the interventionism, they are so tied, that's almost impossible. When you, like, let's say Medicaid, right? How much money the government is spending on Medicaid and then social programs? Imagine if they say, no, we have to be responsible, the debt is too high, we're going to stop the programs. Who are we going to vote for? And this administration, they keep doing the populism, right? They keep saying, they keep bringing more people, they keep, they want to tax more. Did you see Joe Biden wants to tax on a 42% the capital gains? And that's never work. We saw it in Brazil, we saw in many other places, like if you tax the rich, they're going to leave because they don't want to get hurt by that. We saw that in France, right? A lot of billionaires and millionaires, they move out because looking for like tax-free paradise, because that's it, the money and the capitalism system. What is capitalism? You want to keep as much as money as possible. It's create wealth. And back in the day, I didn't realize that, but the government, it doesn't create wealthy. For the other, they take wealthy of the rich people to give to poor people. But the problem is, not only that's immoral, and that they are very bad at doing that. So when, you know, that's the problem. They take your money and they are very bad to, because if you see politicians, most of them, they are not very good businessmen. Even though like some of them like to trade stocks and stuff and they're doing pretty well. And it's very hard to know why. In the personal life, they are not creating business. They are not creating jobs. They are not creating wealth. So how they can manage your money in the best possible way? They don't, because in the end of the day, they want to be on the power one more time, so they will do everything. They will screw the country to have their own agenda. So that's my whole problem with that.
Yeah, it's this weird thing where the people who have generated enormous wealth obviously are good at capitalism, right? Like they've created the jobs, they've built the businesses, they've driven the returns in investing. And taxation, especially egregious high taxation, takes money from the best capital allocators and it gives it to the government, who historically have been the worst capital allocators. And so the definition of destruction of wealth is to take from good capital allocators and give it to bad ones. Now, there are many programs that the government puts together or spends money. How do you think about maybe things that the government does do well? Is there anything that they are good at doing? Or is it something where you think, hey, maybe we actually should operate in a system where allow the free markets to try to solve these problems?
It's very hard to me because, like, again, I'm not a specialist, but as I read and try to understand, I don't think the government does anything right. The only thing that the government should keep doing right is protect the country, right? Police enforcement, like army, everything to keep the country safe. I think that's the main reason. Because and the interventionism, what they say on the book is like, every time they make a decision, it might seem good, but in the end of the day, we will affect the market and the industry, right? Because he talks about the milk. Nobody will be opposed to lower the price of the milk so more kids could have milk and like with that be smarter. But if you put the prices down, you're going to affect the way they produce the milk, like the cow's food and the whole industry we're going to suffer from that. So this intervention in systems is like a domino effect. So it's going to like cascade. We're going to affect the whole market, and then they will try to fix the prices, and then it's like a cascade. So I think government should stay away from the market and just care about the justice system, right? Police, law enforcement, and army. That's my opinion. But again, I don't like to talk too much about parties and policies. I like to talk about principles, you know. And again, I'm just new to that stuff. I'm just seeing what, and I'm trying to talk my mind. I'm not a specialist, so that is just my opinion.
Yeah, listen, but you're doing something that seems like it is important, but many people don't do, which is you're trying to go find information. You're trying to learn. You're putting in the hours and the time to read books, to talk to people, to elicit feedback, all those things that help somebody get educated about it, right? I always, whenever I see people talking about this, everyone starts out at the same level. We don't know anything. And you have to go and you have to get started. And so reading or listening to interviews, talking to other people, that's how you learn, which I think is pretty important. How do you feel along kind of these principles? It feels like, you know, in the United States, we're coming up on an election year. You've got Joe Biden and Donald Trump are going to kind of go head to head. One of the things that I see lots of people talking about online is there's one camp of people who say, you know, Donald Trump broke a bunch of laws. The courts are going after him. They're going to punish him for whatever he ended up, you know, doing or not doing. And kind of the court of law will be the judge there. Other people are saying, wait a second, this is like other countries in South America or in Africa, et cetera, where actually it's one political party trying to prosecute their political rival. And so, you know, you grew up in Brazil, but also there's many countries that are, you know, in and around Brazil that some of the times this does happen. And so, like, how do you kind of look at that as somebody who's come to America and spending time now trying to understand the principles of the country?
First of all, what about you say about learning? It's like on the Bitcoin space, right? Don't trust, verify. I think everything that you want to learn, don't take it for granted. Like, don't just listen to people. Say what they have to talk with them. Say what they have to say, and then you verify. And then you buy books, and then you go to the internet and see different opinions. Again, I think it's all about populism. So I think Biden will spend a lot of money, especially in 2024, to get reelected. His popularity is very bad. They are trying to crucify Donald Trump. They are trying to take him out of the election through maneuvers and through schemes, right, with the justice system. Again, but I don't think anybody is a saint. I'm not saying Donald Trump is a saint, but at the same time, I would say, of course, he would be much better for America than Joe Biden, especially because he is being an entrepreneur. He is having success on his personal life with business and stuff. Of course, he will do good for the businessman and for the entrepreneurs. So I really don't know what's going to happen, but I don't see Joe Biden winning this election. But again, could be just my perception, because the people that I live, right, the people that I talk, the people on the gym, they all have the same political spectrum of myself.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. What are the things that have surprised you the most about America as you've been living here and given this kind of lens that you have with these kind of core principles? Do you feel like America is continuing to kind of live up to these, or is that why you're so interested in it? Is because you had an expectation of America and then the reality is something different?
No, I got here 2017, 2018. It was very, very different. You know, I think this COVID years changing America for good, like very, very deep. Because when I got here, I remember asking myself, oh, especially in Florida, right? Everybody had a job. Everybody had houses. The market was going very good, you know, the people buying houses with like 2% interest in very good houses. And then we have 2024, and I saw a lot of people like no jobs, a lot of people like struggling mentally, because we saw that, you know. There is one book that I like a lot, is 1984, that talks about like a socialist government, like strong government, central power. And I think that was what happened with COVID, right? They took advantage of that to try to control people, to try to keep people like inside their homes, like to, and at the same time, they used the Keynesian economics, right, to print money and give welfare to the people. And that, excuse me, fuck up the world, you know, because the world is like, it's globalized. Everybody, every other country, they use dollar. So America not only screwed his own economy, but the whole world, because everybody used the dollar as to trade. And to me, nowadays it's impossible for a guy of my age to buy a house. It's impossible, you know? That's what I'm saying. They are trying to kill the American dream, because when I moved here, I was hoping to see a better country, and I was seeing a better country. But 2024, a lot of people on the street. So I think the economics of it plays a huge play on that. We never seen America printing that much money. So of course that will affect the whole world, and maybe we see a revolution. But at the same time, that's good for the crypto and the Bitcoin, because more people are accepting that the government is not good on control your money. So they're trying to find another ways to keep the value, to keep your money safe. So it depends how you look it to the problems, right? But for the most part, for the most people, it's been catastrophic 2024.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. The last thing I want to talk to you about is inflation. In Brazil, it's not like Argentina inflation. It's not over 100%. It's not, you know, kind of out of control, but it's high. It's been, you know, kind of 5 to 9, 10%. And it's been compounding year after year after year at a higher than 2% rate. And so what are people saying at home? Like, is inflation just a part of life, and they've just gotten used to with kind of a little bit higher inflation level?
Always was. Now, though, it's not. Right now is not out of control, but in the 70s, on the 80s, was like Argentina. Like people would go to the grocery stores and they were buying, like, let's say a soda or something, and they were changing the prices every 5 minutes. So people would go to the grocery stores and they would spend their own money, you know. So you got your money, you go to the, what was like in every other place, on every other welfare place, like the Weimar Republic on Germany, Argentina, all these places. And why is that? Because government doesn't have like austerity. They don't have the money, right? So they just keep printing money through populism to try to give people what they want, like to give money and welfare. But in the end of the day, Brazil is used to that, and people don't realize. And especially because they put money on bonds and stuff, and they are paying well if you see the inflation. But at the same time, if you understand the concept of the negative curve of yield, you're losing money anyways, even if they pay you 10, 20, I don't know how much money for your money on the bank, you're still losing over time. So one day that system will collapse for sure, because we cannot, it's like you own your house, you cannot spend more than you make. So one day all the social fare and these welfare states, the social state, they're going to collapse, in my opinion.
Last question I think people are going to have is, how do you think about Bitcoin in terms of your life and your portfolio? When you get paid, do you put 100% in Bitcoin? Do you buy a little bit of Bitcoin? Are you trading Bitcoin? Like, just talk a little bit as to, like, you've done all this work, you've understood the principles, right? You are confident enough to at least go out and talk to other people about this. So how do you think about Bitcoin in your own life?
That's a good question. Nobody asked me that. And I start to try to learn economics to, like, the markets, right? To the S&P 500. And what I do is I don't have enough information. I don't trade. I'm not comfortable to trade, you know, and I don't think you should trade Bitcoin. So I do dollar cost average, you know, so every month I put a little bit, not much, but because we never know. If the price is going down, I tend to buy more. If the price is going up, I just gonna put a little bit. But definitely, I don't put everything that I own, that I have, on Bitcoin. But again, every time that I study more, that I learn more, I start to put more money, you know. But again, I never know. I don't have enough ability to track the market. So that's why I set up like automatic payments. So every month I buy a little bit of Bitcoin.
I love it. That makes a ton of sense. Where can people go follow you on the internet? Or if they want to learn more as you kind of go down this learning journey and keep sharing your thoughts, where can they get that information from you?
I have a YouTube channel, but mostly I talk about MMA, right? But Now and then I went live and talk about Bitcoin, Money Moicano channel. I have a very good podcast. I just started a good podcast with another UFC fighter, and you talk about fighting. It's Show Me the Money podcast. So you can go to my social media and sometimes I'm doing podcasts on this Money Moicano channel too, but like about Bitcoin, about economics. And if people want to hear me about that, that would be great too. Go to Money Moicano channel.
I remember after the fight, you said Joe Rogan's going to be your first guest on the Show Me the Money podcast. That was excellent. Hopefully he will, he'll do it.
Yeah, he's not going to be the first, but one day I hope he goes to my podcast.
Awesome. Well, Renato, thank you so much for doing this, and we'll definitely do it again in the future.
Thank you so much, my friend.